Welcome back to the Mittner Method. On this episode, we are going to dive into the returning quarterbacks in the ACC conference. And I would just like to thank you for coming back. If you made it through that first episode of me stumbling and bumbling all the way through it, as it was my first podcast episode that I've ever recorded. So hopefully this one will flow a little bit better for you guys. And we're going to dive into some advanced statistics that better evaluate and quantify the type of quarterback that's coming back for these teams. Now, when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks who are returning, when I use my quarterback database, they have to have a minimum of 125 dropbacks in 2023, simply because it allows it to, you know, have a large enough sample size. You know, that way, you know, we can say the production coming back is either good or it's bad, you know, and we're not kind of stuck with, you know, that gray area. So one thing that is incredible in the ACC is they are returning 15 quarterbacks with at least 125 dropbacks in 2023. And that's it's pretty insane. Only two teams in the conference are lacking a quarterback to meet that threshold, and that is Duke and Pittsburgh. So, you know, unfortunately for them, they're gonna be inexperienced, to say the least. There are seven transferring quarterbacks into the conference, and the rest would be returning from the same team. Now, obviously, I'm not gonna dive into every single one of these quarterbacks because I don't want you to fall asleep, and I don't want, you know, this to be an hour and 15-minute episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dive into the ones that seem to have the potential to make the most significant impact. And to do that, I am going to use several metrics. I'm going to use some PFF passing grades, and then I'm going to use, you know, different depths, you know, whether – you know, they're passing short, which would be within 1 to 9 yards, medium 10 to 19 yards, and then, you know, deep passing, which is 20 yards or more. And then I came up with a little metric that I like to use, thanks to my wife. She came up with a name for it. I use Mickey Mouse throw percentages, which is a combination of behind the line of scrimmage attempts and short attempts. The average is 55.8%. And then big dog throw percentages, hilariously enough. And that is a combination of medium attempts and deep attempts. So the average for that would be 37.6%. So the reason we add those in there with the PFF metrics is simply because we want to know where quarterbacks are throwing the ball. And we want to know if the coaching staff has enough confidence in them to make them or to allow them, excuse me, to make these pro-style throws down the field, or are they hiding their abilities in these, you know, bubble screen type, short layup, you know, style routes? It's, it makes a big difference. And, you know, obviously, you know, a more balanced profile is probably more what you're looking for. But it does give us more context, which is great. So we're going to dive in real quick. We're going to start with the transfer quarterbacks, and then we'll finish with returning quarterbacks coming in. So our first quarterback is going to be DJ Uiagalelei. I can't believe I got that right on the first go. And he is transferring from Oregon to Florida State. Now, last year, he had some really good rankings. When he was kept clean in the pocket, his overall PFF grade was 41st. And when he was kept clean, his QB rating was 38th. So very solid considering that's out of 158 quarterbacks. You know, so that is above average, and that, you know, that's pretty good for a quarterback transferring in. And then we'll look at some of his depth on deep. He was 37th in deep attempts percentage. And on those attempts, he had a PFF grade of 54th and a QB rating of 42nd. One area that he does struggle in, unfortunately, is going to be in the medium attempts range. And at Oregon State, he attempted the 10th most medium attempts percentage. And unfortunately, he was 109th and 88th, respectively, in PFF grade and QB rating on those attempts. And then his short attempts, he actually was really good in the 1 to 9 yard range, 24th and 12th. And PFF grade and QB rating. Now, so that puts him in an interesting, you know, area when it comes to his profile. He's actually 156th in Mickey Mouse attempts and then 11th in the Big Dog attempts. So Oregon State really trusted him to throw the ball down the field. And this is kind of what Mike Norvell is looking for at Florida State. They really want to take advantage of big chunk plays down the field. That was shown all last year with Jordan Travis throwing to Keon Coleman and those other, you know, extremely good wide receivers. They are just going to have to improve him at the medium depth. And if they can do that by, you know, scheming up open receivers, scheming up, you know, just exceptional, you know, plays, he can really turn this already potent offense into an elite level offense. And he is by far, in my opinion, the most significant transfer in the conference. And if he works out, you know, Florida State's probably going to be very close to where they were last year. I don't want to say they're going to go undefeated simply because, you know, there is a parity and variance, but they're going to be, you know, competing for an ACC championship and definitely a playoff berth. So second on the list is Cameron Ward for Miami. He's transferring via Washington State. And, you know, his profile is pretty similar to DJ's, but, you know, he was 39th in kept clean when kept clean in PFF grade and 51st in QB rating. And when he was under pressure, you know, it didn't really matter much. He was 63rd and 38th in PFF grade and QB rating. So, you know, he wasn't really, you know, a big fall off, to say the least. So when we get into the different depths, he did have a deep attempt percentage of 134th. Even though he didn't attempt a lot of those deep passes, he was, you know, pretty good at it. 22nd in PFF grade and 32nd in QB rating. And he was even better in the medium depth than the intermediate range from 11 to 19 yards. You know, he was 11th in PFF grade and 41st in QB rating. So that really, you know, shows up. It is, you know, but the unfortunate thing is the Washington State offense is not built like that. They're not built to push the ball down the field. They are more of, you know, a read it and go very quick, you know, air raid style via, you know, the tutelage of, you know, Mike Leach left behind. and so when we get down to the overall landscape of his profile, he was 35th in Mickey Mouse attempts at 61.1% and 144th in Big Dog attempts. So this is, you know, something that always is going to give me pause when I'm looking at a quarterback transferring in, trying to take a team to a different level. The lack of experience in those ranges, you know, it's something to keep a note on. One thing is a lot of people wouldn't realize this, but Miami has never won an ACC championship. 20 years they've been in the ACC, and they've never won one. They've only played in one ACC championship game. I didn't even realize that, and I've been watching college football like my entire life. So the Miami coaching staff is going to try to implement a game plan similar to what they did with Tyler Van Dyke. And hopefully they'll get the improvement they need. He is an upgrade at quarterback. So that definitely can, you know, be a bright spot, but they're going to have to build the offense around him to, you know, make sure that it sees, you know, its optimal level. So the next quarterback that's transferring in is going to be Grayson McCall, coming from Coastal Carolina, going to NC State. Now, McCall, again, all these quarterbacks pretty solid coming in. There's not a ton to really scoff at. He came in with a kept clean PFF grade of 42nd and a kept clean QB rating of 42nd also. Now, it did fall off quite a big amount when under pressure. You know, his PFF grade is 78th and his QB rating is 106th. But those, you know, the under pressure ratings and stuff, they're more volatile. So, you know, I don't like to read too much into that unless we're actually in this season. And, you know, that's just kind of what we're, you know, that's what he's up against that season. when looking at his depth profile, pretty solid with the deep attempts, 85th in deep attempts percentage. 52nd in PFF grade and 37th in QB rating on those throws. The area that's going to give me the most concern, though, is in the medium 11 to 19 yard range. And that's because he's 115th and 90th, respectively, in PFF and PFF grade and QB rating. So that gives me pause simply because he's transferring from Coastal Carolina and the Sun Belt to the ACC, where, you know, the defense and the defensive coordinators they're just at a different level. They're better. You know, that's not anything against the Sun Belt or anything of that nature, but we've seen this type of transfer before, and it does not usually seem to work out for whatever reason that is. And you know, that's not saying it can't or it won't. It's just the underlying metrics, there's a lot to be desired, in my opinion. McCall, incredible at Coastal Carolina. He was great under Jamie Chadwell when he was there before he left for Liberty. And, he could have success at NC State, but I do not see this team, you know, competing for an ACC championship. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but you tell me what your thoughts are and your opinion. So our last transferring quarterback that we're going to touch on is Kyle McCord, transferring out of Ohio State to Syracuse. And I'm going to go through his profile here, and, you know, I feel as if it's slightly misleading, but we'll kind of dive more into it. His PFF grade and his QB rating were kept clean, borderline elite, 30th and 8th, respectively. And his, but there's a huge drop off when he's under pressure, and that speaks to his inability to scramble. You know, he's not really a dual threat QB, not super athletic. You know, his under pressure PFF grade 142nd and pressure QB under pressure QB rating 127th. So, a couple things also. An amazing grades under his deep ball, his deep attempts, deep PFF grade of 13th, and his QB rating for 20 or more yards 3rd. Now, I'm not trying to take away from, you know, that. Those marks, those are incredible. I am just, you know, I'm thinking, is that more him or is that Marvin Harrison Jr.? And, you know, just the plethora of talent at wide receiver at Ohio State. And it also gives me pause that he's transferring out from Ohio State to Syracuse. Like, let's not get it twisted. That is not even a lateral move. You know, that is a downgrade for him. And Ohio State was happy to see him go. So that makes me, you know, it gives me pause, you know, and concern to say the least. And I mean, like most people, I feel like he might have been the reason that Ohio State was held back from their ultimate goal. Now let's look at it, you know, from a positive standpoint. Syracuse is getting an upgraded QB, but that's it. He's not a difference maker. He's not going to push them over the edge, you know, towards an ACC championship game appearance. You know, he's an upgrade, but he's not a difference maker by any stretch of the imagination. All right, so let's move on to returning quarterbacks. And the first one on the list, again, just kind of throws me for a loop. It's Cade Klubnik. And there is, to say there is a lot to be desired from his profile is an understatement. 108th in PFF grade, 78th in QB rating when kept clean, and then under pressure, 131st and 132nd. Like, whew, that's right on average, below average. And Clemson's, you know, well considered a top 20 program. So then it gets even more concerning. We get to the deep attempts. He's 155th. And in deep PFF grade, 125th, and QB rating, 43rd. And then as we go down, medium attempts percentage, 124th. And then the PFF grade and QB rating for that depth, 92nd and 51st. So when I come down to his overall depth profile, he's 11th in Mickey Mouse attempts and second to last, 157th in Big Dog attempts. And you know, what that tells me is Clemson is not confident enough to open up the offense for him. Because if they were, he wouldn't be throwing the ball 11 yards or further 28% of the time. It would be more, you know. And I'm going to be honest, like, I am really, really skeptical as to how Clemson is going to get to 10 wins. Their team total is 9.5. You know, obviously, if they get to 10 wins, they'll probably make the playoffs. I don't see it. You know, like, they've been putting out the same team since 2014, and thinking that they're going to have success. You know, obviously, Dabo is on record with saying you know, he doesn't need to be in the transfer portal. And, like, you know, it's an adapt or die type world. And, you know, that that is the same in college football. And I know this seems crazy, but we are 4 years removed from Justin Fields and Ohio State just dog walking them in the college football semis. And they haven't even been remotely close to being back to that level. And I don't see them making it back with this – with Klubnik as the leader in the clubhouse for this. I know DJ left, and now he's back in the ACC, which is hilarious enough. But I just don't see it. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before, but I just don't see it. All right, and then our last quarterback is going to be one that is probably not really on the radar for a lot of people. It's going to be Preston Stone at SMU. And you know, SMU joining the ACC, obviously that didn't really, you know, that wasn't something that a lot of people were like, you know, it would have made more sense for them to join the Big 12 or whatnot, but that's irrelevant. Preston Stone's PFF profile is elite. And I mean, there's just really no other way to put it. I mean, 10th in kept clean PFF grade, 27th in QB rating when kept clean. And then he's not even rattled under pressure, 6th in pressure PFF grade and 20th in QB rating when under pressure. And there's not much to say. I mean, just poised in the pocket, to say the least. And then when I get to the depth profile, it's even more impressive. He's second in deep attempts percentage, and he's 15th and 22nd in PFF grade and QB rating on deep attempts. So not only does he throw the ball deep a lot, he's actually good at throwing the ball deep a lot, which is know, exactly what you want in a quarterback. And then we get into the medium depth, which is pretty much like, you know, your barometer for where a quarterback is going to, you know, excel and succeed at the next level or really carry a team, you know, to, you know, exceptional success. And he's 82nd in medium attempts percentage. So that's, you know, that's on average with, you know, the rest of college football. But he's 7th in PFF grade and 3rd in QB rating. So he's just elite, you know, at those depths. And then when I get down to short attempts, it's kind of befuddling to me. But, you know, he's 156th in short attempts percentage, which is, you know, 3rd to last. And he's not really good in the 1 to 9 yard range. He's 87th and 111th. And I don't really, you know, that's kind of, you know, strange to me, but I'm not going to read too much into that simply because SMU trusts him to push the ball down the field and in the intermediate, and he's just really good at it. And, I mean, he did get injured before their bowl game and whatnot, so he is coming back, coming off an injury. But one thing that really stands out to me outside of his profile is SMU is going to play the easiest schedule in the ACC by a wide margin also. And they're going to, you know, he's going to flourish in that type of, you know, environment, in my opinion. And in reality, you know, they do have a legitimate chance at making the ACC title game. Now, I mean, you know, they're only scheduled, I believe they're at 7.5 wins for their team total, so they're going to have to, you know, get up to 9 or 10 wins. But to act like that's not possible, I think that's misguided. If we were looking at him as a profile where, you know, it's a dink and duck type offense and, you know, this offense from a, you know, the group of five, you know, they were just faster and they just, you know, they did all these smoke and mirror type plays, then I would be, you know, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, then that's, you know, it's not going to happen in the ACC, but I think they can really, you know, have some success. And that's going to be because their quarterback is arguably the best quarterback in the entire conference. So, that's going to be it for today, guys. You know, just a little preview. I'm going to do these type of quarterback preview articles for every conference. I might do one for the independents. There's only like 2 quarterbacks who meet the threshold, so I might not. Even being a Notre Dame fan, I don't really have many good things to say about the quarterback position there. You know, so I might not waste my time on a whole episode. I might do a small article. If you're interested in reading this, in more depth, you can go to my website, themittnermethod.com, and the article will be up, which is pretty much going over everything I discussed in this episode. But, you know, you can kind of have it as a reference point to see if you need it. Other than that, thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.